That the enjoyment is when both are like that. When the Shaykh is just directing, telling you what you're supposed to be doing, and when the student is immediately embracing what is being said to him. So the Shaykh also feels like giving more and more and more. He doesn't have any type of reservation in giving. But that is provided when the murid or the student is taking on and is taking on completely, entirely. But if it is that the Shaykh perceives this person is finding it a little bit difficult, he is not so receptive, he is not so eager in what I am saying, then he feels reluctant to give as well, because he doesn't see the eagerness coming from your end. He doesn't see that yearning coming from there. When he doesn't see that yearning, then it is like a child that says, I'm full. But when the child is full, then the mother finds it difficult to feed the child, with the fear that he will not be able to digest or he will throw up. So the Shaykh also finds a little bit of apprehension in explaining points when he sees that there is some reservation. But if there is absolutely no reservation, then he wants to give. So it came to my mind and I'm giving. It came and I'm giving completely. So then there is going to be that enjoyment, that happiness. So the student will come with that frame of mind and the Shaykh will be teaching with this frame of mind. Then there is no reservation, there is no hesitation, there is no why and when and if only and why did he say this to me. But he's not instructing others in this manner as he's instructing me. So he won't have this type of reservations. He will be accepting and he will be receiving completely. Now Hazrat Jabir ibn Sulaym radiallahu anhu, he heard this from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he embraced it so well that right till his death he remembers this incident with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this encounter, that this is the mistake that I made, and Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam corrected me straight away. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also felt and seen the yearning in this person. He perceived perhaps the yearning in this person, that when he's saying something, when he comes to me, that I must give him, and I must give him completely straight away. So Rasulullah gave it to him. And he also embraced it. So he didn't have any reservation that my first encounter, and this is how the man just corrected me straight away. He didn't have that type of attitude. He didn't have that type of an impression of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In my first encounter, there wasn't any proper meeting. We didn't get to know each other. And there wasn't that compatibility. And straight away he began to just correct me like that. On the contrary, he was waiting for this, that I came to learn and I want to accept from him and I want to embrace from him. So he came with that heart, with that frame of mind that I need to be corrected, I must be corrected. And what is going to be told to me, that I'm going to embrace it completely. So now, these are the two problems that we have generally in this day. One is, the student is not coming in with an open mind, an open heart. That yearning and feeling and this desire that I must be corrected, I must be directed. Right? And if he's coming with a little bit of yearning, then he's not coming with a resolve and a determination. So you come with a yearning and you come with a resolve and a determination that what is going to be told to me, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it 100%. Now again, look at the same hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he asked Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Anta Rasulullah, are you the Rasul of Allah? See, he's going to make a major shift in his life. Before he makes this major decision, then he wants to confirm that this is the right thing what I'm doing. He doesn't want to make a shift without confirming. So the same will apply to a Shaykh, that the student will need to have that level of confidence in him. If he doesn't have that confidence, he may take some time and delay this whole bayat thing. He may delay the bayat. It's alright. Now see the person, build up the confidence. You have got the total confidence that what he's going to say to me is just going to be the right. It's for my own good and I need to accept it. But if you have taken the bayat and you haven't had that confidence, that level of trust in the person, that level of confidence in the person, you don't consider him to be that reliable, you don't consider him to be that suitable, and this, you just made that commitment, now you're still deliberating in your mind, what he's told to me, is it the right thing? Should I have accept this? Did I make the right move by me pledging bayat with him? So all these type of doubts are going to be haunting your mind. It's going to be haunting and hunting your mind. It's going to be troubling your mind. And when it's going to be haunting and troubling your mind, then the process of reformation and correction is going to be delayed. Because you don't have the level of confidence. You don't consider the person to be reliable. You don't have the trust in him. You don't have that type of you don't have that type of reliability. You don't feel he's so reliable. So you are still deliberating, you're still speculating that is this the right person? Was it the right move? Or was it something that I just hurried into, I rushed into? You won't have all these type of reservations. So therefore you will say to that person, by you take your time. You have the niyyah to make Islah and you start correcting yourself because the correction is compulsory. The bayat is just a formality, but the correction is obligatory. So for a mustahab that is bayat, you're not going to delay the Islah. The Islah is compulsory. You go on doing that Islah until you build up that type of confidence. What he said is right. If he says something, then I have the trust in him, I have that confidence in him, I'm absolutely certain about the person, I don't have any qualms about him, I don't have any reservation, any hesitation in him, so I'm going to accept it, I'm going to accept wholeheartedly. So this is the one problem. And the second problem, like I say, you're not coming in with a resolve. So Hazrat Jabir is asking, that are you that Rasul of Allah? So he's trying to bring about that type of confidence. What he's attempting to do? Building confidence, building trust. If it's the Rasul of Allah, then he's genuine. If it is the Rasulullah, then I need to accept everything what he's saying. If he's the Rasul of Allah, then his word is not his own word, it's the word of Allah Ta'ala. If he's the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, then accepting him is my salvation. If he's the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala, then accepting him is guidance. If he's the Rasulullah, then accepting him is nur and light. Now, he cleared this doubt when Rasulullah said, yes, I am the Rasul of Allah. If you are in a desert, you are lost, your conveyance is lost, your provision is lost, everything is lost. You lost your direction completely. And there is no recourse, no one you can go to. No asylum, no recourse, you can't turn to anybody. In such a predicament, when you call to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala will definitely listen to you. I am the Rasul of that Allah. And I am the Rasul of that Allah Ta'ala, that when you are in constraints, you are in difficulty, you are going through famine, you are going through, there's no rain, there's famine. And then you implore that Allah Ta'ala will definitely listen to you. So I am that Allah Ta'ala. I am that Rasul. I am the Rasul of that Allah Ta'ala. Now his mind is totally clear. You see. He's got the confirmation, he's got the confidence, he's got the trust. So whatever is going to be told to him now, he's going to accept it wholeheartedly. He's going to accept it without any type of hesitation, without any type of reservation, accept it wholeheartedly. See, things work, and they work in a certain pattern. And when we go in that pattern, we go in that sequence, we come to the right conclusions. You want to do medicine, then they will tell you that you will have to go to grade 1, grade 2, you have to go to the primary school, the secondary school, then you will get admission in the tertiary level in the university. So no, I want to go straight into medicine and I want to go and practice medicine. So you know, you can't do it. So You have to go through a sequence. So in the process of reformation, then this is the sequence that you go through. This is the person that I need, who's going to correct me. And the person that you need must be a person that you have trust. Right? Because Jabir radiallahu anhu confirmed this. And then he must also be a person that you can relate to. So he trusts him and he can relate to him. So he can relate to him when he's got some level of compatibility. He either has the natural compatibility or makes himself compatible to the person. So one of two possibilities, either I am compatible with you, naturally. I befriended you, I have entered into an agreement with you, and I'm naturally compatible. Or if I see that some things are not in agreement, then I make myself compatible. Right? Because it's going to be difficult for the sheikh to become compatible to everybody. There's 100 people, right? And for him to become compatible to 100 people, it's going to be difficult. Right? He's got a certain way of getting up, certain way of sleeping, right? Certain way of eating. He likes certain things, he doesn't like certain things. Or in some things he's too loud, right? So, now for the sheikh to become compatible and agreement to everybody is going to be difficult. But for those people to adjust themselves to him is going to be easy. This is like an impossible task. Everybody, and I must adjust myself to him, to his temperament, to his ways, is going to be difficult. But yes, it's easy for you to adjust yourself to me. See the adjustment program. So you have to adjust yourself. Now you got the trust, the confidence, and you got the compatibility, you adjusted yourself to the temperament, to the ways, etc. You have adjusted. Now to go to correct yourself now becomes very easy. It's not a difficult task any longer. Now it's very easy. Because you have done things, and you have done things in sequence, in order. See, the trust is there, and the agreement, the temperaments are in agreement. Your temperament, his temperament. Your thinking, his thinking. Everything is in agreement. As though you have tuned into the right station. When you have tuned into the right station, then, or to the right channel, then you're going to get the reception. No matter what the distance may be. You write in Australia, for example, or write in the furthest part of America, and you tune in the right station, your reception is going to be clear. When you get a clear reception, because you tuned in right. You can't just switch on the radio and say, I want a reception. Can you say that? You can't do that. You have to tune in into the right channel. So there again, there's a tartib, there's a sequence. See how Allah Ta'ala has designed this world? He's designed it with some sequence. So you have to follow that sequence to come to the right ends. Person is sitting in the masjid and he wants children, making dua. So you tell him, "By yes, we all with you, our sympathies are with you, our feelings are with you, but in this also there is a certain sequence, there is a certain tartib. The tartib is you need to get married. You need to know what marriage is. You need to get married. Once you get married, then by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, if you follow the sequence, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with children as well. The marriage also, you can't just do it how you want. You're not going to do it how you want. Otherwise, there's such a broad definition for marriage. Now, there is a thing like gay marriages as well. So you can't say, now I got married now. Gay got married. And now he's saying, I made dua to get married, so I got married. I'm not getting children. See? So he needs to know what is marriage first. What is the right understanding, the right meaning of marriage. Otherwise he's going to have an understanding of marriage, but a corrupt understanding of marriage. See? How important it is to understand, to have the right understanding. He's also got an understanding, but is the understanding right? The understanding is corrupt. Now, if the understanding is corrupt, the procedure will be corrupt. When the procedure will be corrupt, can he come to the right ends? He can't come to the right ends. So, how important it is to do it in sequence, number one. And number two, then, to know the definitions also, to know what this thing means, what this thing refers to. This thing, what it refers to, this thing, what does it refer to. So you went through the sequence. You understood the thing correctly, right? But you're not applying yourself correctly. He understood it. He went through the sequence. But he's not applying himself correctly. When not applying himself correctly, can he come to the right end? Can't come to that. So a person went into bayat. He found the adjustment and the agreement. But he's not applying himself correctly. Can he get into the right end? That was a blind hafizab, you see. So, he wasn't getting married. Obviously, he's blind. So, it's not going to be so easy for him to get into a marriage. He's blind. So, now the students, they want some type of humor. They want some excitement. So, they're harassing the hafizab. Hafizji, why don't you get married? No, I don't want to spoil someone's life, I'm blind and all that. So, no, don't worry, we'll try and arrange for you. We'll try and organize for you, you must get married. So they kept on pestering him, alright, I'll get married. So they told one auntie, whatever, this is the background, this is a blind person. Now the night of the marriage. So the next morning he shouted to the students, you know, you told me that marriage is such an enjoyable thing, such a tasty thing, so much of enjoyment you get. No enjoyment at all, I got no enjoyment. So, no, you know, you try hard, you'll get enjoyment. So there's so much of taste in it, there's so much of enjoyment in it, and it's such a tasty thing, you know. And you must get married, so because it's very enjoyable, very, very tasty thing. So the next day, now he took roti, bread, and he's applying and he's eating. He's rubbing it on to the wife. Now he got even more angry the next day that you told me that this is a very enjoyable thing, a very tasty thing. So I took that bread and I rubbed it hard. Everywhere I could have rubbed it. And then I put it in my mouth, but no taste I got. So he said, no, you must strike. Now the students can't say straight, you must strike. So the third day he got even more angry. He says, no, I hit her. When I hit her, the whole town was there. What are you doing to this person here? They wanted to take me to court and they wanted to take me through. Now they had to give a clear tafsil, open it up completely to him. After about a week now, they give the whole tafsil, this is what you do. Now, the fourth day now, when he comes into the class, there's a broad smile from one ear to the other ear, he's smiling out. Yeah, really, really, there isn't something as enjoyable as this, you see. So to have the sequence right, then to have an agreement in the tabiat, to understand the right meanings and definitions, and then to apply yourself correctly. So much this thing requires. It's not a straightforward thing. See, when you talk of correction and reformation, there's so many things that go into the works. Like I spoke about marriage, right? So you need to understand what is the definition of marriage. Otherwise, that gay is saying also that I got into a marriage, I made dua, I got into a marriage. But you say you get married, you get children, why am I not getting children? So he needs to know what is the correct definition of marriage. Then he needs to apply himself rightly. If he doesn't apply himself rightly, then he'll come to the right ends. So in the Islah as well, he'll need to apply himself correctly. If he says, no, I'm doing it, the Shaykh told me to make that wazifa, I'm making that wazifa. But I don't see any correction in myself. I don't see any improvement. I'm at the same point. I was stealing and robbing and cheating 10 years ago, and today also I'm robbing, cheating and stealing. I don't see any improvement in myself. So the application wasn't right. The application must be right. The application is by consulting regularly, going to the person, consulting, taking what he says and going. Yes, durun nas, from the same word you get all these meanings. Consulting regularly. At intervals, he's consulting the person. Whatever you got, you're consulting. I applied this and this is the end I've seen. I applied this, this is what I've understood. one person came to Umar Palanpuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he says, we are doing the work here in this area ever since I left. You know, I did my 4 months, and ever since I did my 4 months, the type of things you told me, must do Gersh, Talim, whatever else. So I've been doing this. I asked him for how long. At least about 12 years I'm doing this. But I'm doing this for 12 years, I don't see any improvement. The Musalli population is like what it was 12 years ago. There's no improvement in the Musalli population. So Mawlana told him two things. One is, it was wrong of you to delay this. See, when you are taking that direction from us, then in close intervals you must come and ask us, talk to us. If you can't talk to us, then write to us. But in close intervals, you must talk to us, you must tell us what's going on. Now, you just went to do the work and you're not informing us. You're not reporting to us. Now, that's wrong. We may understand that you understood it correctly and you're applying it correctly, but your duty is to consult. Consult and consult regularly. You must consult at intervals. That is what they say, ittila and ittiba. Right. To inform and to emulate. You also inform your sheikh, your senior, and then you emulate. Your case may be a strange case. It may be a unique case. It may not be a normal case. So your duty is to come and report to him. So you can't just take it and carry on. And you can't just follow as well. You need to report and emulate. You need to report and emulate. Both things will be required. Not just reporting and not just emulating. And reporting and emulating in short intervals. Short intervals. See? You're doing business, right? So your business consultant will tell you, or I do it like this. So in short intervals, you go and tell him, they said, I did the business like how you told me. I'm not seeing good. So in short intervals, you're telling him. So he'll say, all right, make this adjustment and correct it like this. But you don't speak to him for 10 years and say, hey, you know, you told me about this and I applied this 10 years, now I'm totally insolvent. Now it's wrong for you. He gave you an idea, perhaps he needed to modify it. Perhaps he needed to make some improvements on that. You didn't give him a chance. You just took one formula from him and you continued. Now when you become totally insolvent, now you come and talk to him. It's wrong of you. So in short intervals, you must come and report. So more times, this is the wrong thing, that you did not inform us in short intervals. And we can't go about asking everybody now. How many people come to us and leave us? We don't know them, we don't know the particulars. And how much do you expect us to talk to them? Yes, they need to ask us. Like I said, the Shaykh cannot adjust himself to every person's temperament. But that student can adjust himself to the temperament of the Shaykh. It's an easy thing. 1,000 people, if they adjust themselves, is easy. But one person, you expect him to adjust himself to 1,000 people's temperaments, will be very difficult. His Mamul is, for example, he gets up a little bit early. Right? And the next person, Mamul is, he gets a little bit late. Gets up a little bit late. This person, his Mamul is, he likes to complete his wazifas before Fajr. And this person, he does his Mamulat after Fajr. So their temperaments are different. So you can't expect now the Shaykh to adjust himself to everybody. Yes, those people can adjust themselves to him. So this was the first thing Mawlana told him. And the second thing Mawlana told him, alright, this is how you adjust the times. Perhaps he may have been doing the Gersh, but he's doing it in the incorrect times. Like in our South African context, for example, he went to do Gersh after Zohar. So after Zohar, you can't get people in the homes. How are you going to get people in the homes? You did the work, but you did the work incorrectly. You didn't apply yourself correctly. The Gersh was the right work. It was right work. It was a blessed work. It was the work of our Kabir. It was a great thing. But then did you do it and did you do it correctly? You didn't do it correctly. You did it as routine. Or they told me to do Gersh, I'm doing Gersh. So he's doing the work, but he is not doing it correctly. Right. As he didn't do it correctly now, 12 years he's been doing the Gersh, but he doesn't see any improvement. The problem was that he did not consult. Right. Now he consulted Mawlana, made the adjustment. Now, he had no reservation in accepting the direction from Maulana. See, I told you that the first point, when the student comes in, he comes in with that heart of having no reservation. What is going to be told to me, I'm going to do it. And if there's going to be a problem, I'll go and relate it again. Like I said, you relate and emulate. You can't only relate and you can't only emulate. You need to relate and emulate. But you relate and emulate in short intervals. So now, he's got it from Maulana that this is the adjustment that you need to make. But like I see in our South African context, the better time is after Maghrib. And maybe in the winter, maybe just before Isha. People are coming from work, so that's the right time to get them. Before Isha or after Maghrib. Now, he applied himself correctly. When he applied himself correctly, then he comes back to Maulana after a month, says, now, before we just had one surf, now we got five surfs in the masjid. Perhaps it was his past ikhlas as well, sincerity, and him applying himself correctly. From one to five, where he was, there was nothing. And when he applied himself correctly, then you see the improvement, 500% improvement. But you see the reason and the importance of relating and emulating. Relating and emulating and in short intervals. Relating and emulating in short intervals. Like I say, it's difficult for the Shaykh to go and ask everybody, you know, how you're doing and how's the progress. But it is easy for you to relate to him. For him it is difficult. So many people, how many contact them? Some people can't even remember. And what he told them, maybe he told them 1 year ago. So he forgot what he spoke about as well. But if you keep on asking, consulting, and with a yearning, you know, with a clear mind, then the reception is very good. When the reception is very good, then he wants to give even more. Like I said, that person is in Australia, right? And he's tuned into the right channel, right? He's going to get a clear reception. Because everything is in place. The trust is there, the sequence is there, the frequency is there, everything he's got. When everything is, he's got everything, now he's getting that type of benefit. But on the contrary, he's staying right at the doorstep of the radio station. But he's tuned in into the wrong channel. Right at the doorstep of the radio station, he's living there. He's living there, but he's tuned into the wrong channel. When he's tuned into the wrong channel, can he get the type of reception? So, no, I bought the radio, they told me to tune in, I tuned in, but I'm not getting the type of reception. You see where the wrong is. So, Jabir ibn Sulaym radiallahu anhu says, رَأَيْتُ رَجُلًا يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ عَنْهُ. I saw a man, and people were visiting him, and whatever was being said to them, and they just embraced it. Without any reservation. But you see what it takes. I showed you these 4 points with the grace of Allah Ta'ala and how important are these 4 points. So then I asked Rasulullah SAW, I'had ilayya. Ya Rasulullah, give me some advice. So Rasulullah SAW told him, La tasubba ahadan. Or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that don't swear anybody. When we say swear, the word swear doesn't mean only F&B, you see. F&B is for the bank. Right? But it doesn't, the word just doesn't confine itself just to F&B. It's got a broader meaning. When you say the Arabic word swear, it doesn't just confine itself to F&B. Right? In other words, to be aggressive, to be harsh, to be hard. Right? Even though what you are saying, maybe to some percent, to some degree, it is right, but you don't become aggressive. Harun al-Rashid is a king, right? And when a person is appointed as a king, Allah gives him a broad heart. He's got broad shoulders, he's got a broad heart. So he doesn't flip so easily. He's got broad shoulders, he's got a broad mind. Now the problem is then, when the heart is not big. When the heart is not big, then small things irritate. Now, a few months ago, I had to advise one couple, right? The marriage was on the rocks, so I had to advise them. So I explained them, but don't keep a chicken's heart, but for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, small, small things will happen in the house. Right? She made a sacrifice also, like you made a sacrifice, so she made a sacrifice. You won't have mistakes, and she's going to have mistakes. Right? You will have a chicken's heart, then for every small thing that she does, then you're going to get irritated. And same to the wife, if you want to have a chicken's heart for his behavior, then for every small little thing, then you're going to get irritated. So this is not going to work out. Right. One person I had to tell him, it was an employer-employee relationship, right? From town, a big company carrying on, big company. So he's got a problem with his worker. So he came with his worker, both now, they both heated. For every small thing, he's taking off with me, doing like this. And that boss is saying, he's not performing. So I asked the boss, this person's performance, are you totally in disagreement? So, no, I don't say total disagreement, but not to my expectation. So I asked him, what's the degree, what's the percentage of his performance? He said, about 70%. I said, no. If he's doing 60-70%, then just write off that 30%. Don't speak about it as well. Because if he was 100%, then he would have not been under you. See, he's under you because he's under you, and therefore he's doing 70%. If he had been 100%, then he would be your equal. You would never subject himself under you. But now he subjected himself under you is because he is not that competent. See? So you just accept him and write off that 30%. Alhamdulillah, after a year or so, he came back. So now that agreement came in, he says, I was shocked when he told me that business has improved. From that point where they had just about a million or something, and the turnover picked up to about 20 million. I was shocked myself to him the thing from 1 million to 20 million just turnover. But you see that adjustment, little adjustment, adjust yourself and understand that this person is working for me because he is not at my level. Had he been in my level, then he would have been working for me. He would have opened his own business. You know what I mean? So this aggressive, this hostile, this thing is not a thing that is accepted. Is not the way of the Anbiya, is not the way of the pious. Now, this person is coming from the sticks. See, the Bisham is advising a man that's coming from the village. Right? So as we were traveling just now, I think we were passing Meerut or something, and our car, next to our car was on, bullock. Huh? So it's pulled by a bull. Right? So there's a youngster that is driving the cart, and he's giving it, one shot after the other shot. He's giving the thing. He's giving it and he's giving heart, you know. So I'm explaining my friends, I'm explaining them, see, this was the hadith says, that, man bada faqad jafa. When you go and stay in the sticks, then you become a stick like this. See, this type of temperament is for that person that lives like that. He was living all his life like this. So when he's living all his life like this, giving it, shouting, hitting, swearing, and all that, so that is now stamped into him. Now to eliminate it from his system is going to be very difficult. But you see it, how it's working, how he's giving it. He's giving full shots, not just touching. He's giving it on the tail and he's giving it. See? Because when you're in a farm, in the sticks in the farm and all that, then you're not working with people, you're working with animals, right? When you're working with animals, they can't see, they can't tell anything. Can they do anything? They can't see. So you will keep on giving, shouting, hitting, swearing, keep on doing everything. And that thing can't say anything. Now, when you have that attitude, right, that you're just giving and you're not getting anything, right? So you build up that type of temperament. When you build up that type of temperament, now you're going to be relating with others also the same way. You've been relating with those animals, you're relating to people in this way. So now this Jabir ibn Sulaym, perhaps he was coming from that type of background. See, from a farm background, where he can call his shots, he can do his own thing. And Nabi Sam is giving him this advice. But you see the open heart that he's coming with. He's coming with an open heart. He says, فَمَا شَتَمْتُ رَجُلًا وَلَا إِمْرَأَةً وَلَا عَبْدًا وَلَا خَادِمًا. After that, I never abused anybody. I wasn't aggressive, I wasn't harsh, I wasn't hard to anybody, not a man, not a woman, not a slave, not anybody. Now imagine the type of resolve. You see, I said sequence and resolve, determination. He came in and he came with the resolve. He came in with the determination. He didn't just come there casual, he's a Nabi, now let's see what he's got to offer. He didn't come like he's coming to a mall now. What are the specials in this mall today? He didn't come with that frame of mind. He came with a resolve. So I came in, and I came in, I must take it. He says, فَمَا شَتَمْتُ رَجُلًا وَلَا إِمْرَأَةً وَلَا خَادِمًا وَلَا عَبْدًا. I never saw anybody after that. See the resolve that he came in with. Now, this person has a Jabir ibn Sulaym, radiallahu anhu. He's becoming very, very friendly. This one sitting with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But I suppose the resolve that he came, the sincerity that he came, the honesty and the clarity that he came, and then the beauty of the personality of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had overwhelmed him. So it's a two-sided thing. One is the resolve, the determination, the sincerity he came. And then it is the beauty of the countenance of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His approach, his way, his style. And when that happened, then a person will relate his very innermost secrets, the secret of the house. The things that you will not share with people, generally, you will go and share it. The thing that you will not talk about, now you're going to talk about it. Because you got the confidence, you got the trust, you got the respect for that person. Now, everything and anything you talk about. So he says to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, but inna lim ra'atan, I got a wife, you know. Wa fi lisaniha shay'un. She is a little bit. She's got something, you know. Her tongue is not right. I will say it. Her tongue is not right. Because zuban sahi nahi hai. Wa fi lisaniha shay'un. The tongue is not right. So it's miserable now. Everything I tell her, she says, you're stupid, you've got no brains. What do you think? What do you think of me? Sometimes you saying it, sometimes it happens in the house. Sometimes the man is saying it, and sometimes the wife is saying it. It's better that the wife says it than you say it. That's a sign of nobility, according to the hadith. It's a sign of nobility where the wife shouts you. But where you shouting the wife, it's a sign of you not being noble. Like I say, you've got a small heart, chicken's heart, a small little thing, irritating, fighting, aggressive. But when you got a heart of an ocean, right, then what happens? Everything that comes in, your heart just breaks it up. It comes in and breaks it up. Ye chota bachcha hai, nadaan hai, isko chhodne, isko rehne do. You will treat the type of treatment, like a small little child, you know. The child pulls out your topi and he throws it also. He pulls your beard sometimes and he smacks you sometimes. So you're going to smack him also. You're going to hit him. No, man. You're not going to do that. Rather, you will entertain yourself. Say, hey, chota nada, kya kar raha hai? You'll take it and through, so easily you'll take it. And 9 out of 10 times, if you treat that woman like that, then you will get a better response from her. You don't want to hit her, shout her. You don't want to smack her for every small little thing. So now making her Islam, making her Musliman. By tu Musliman ho jao pehle, you become a Musliman first. Why are you making that person Musliman? You feel that you're perfect. And there's a deficiency in her. You become perfect. For small little things, you need to just overlook. Overlook. Don't talk about it. Don't make a mention about it. Really, we haven't seen our Buzurgan ad-Din. We haven't seen them. We didn't see how they act, how they behave, how they conduct themselves. We didn't see all this thing. Hazrat Hassan radiallahu anhu, I think it was one of his grandchildren. So it happened that he had a Jewish neighbor living on the upper floor, he's living in the ground floor. So the Jewish neighbor one day came to him for some work. So he smelled something foul, you know. He said to him, "But I see your house, there's a smell coming out from your house, you know. There's a smell coming out from your house." So try and correct this thing. You know? So the son or his child or his grandchild didn't say anything. First time, second time, third time. He said, no, I want to go and correct it now. This is too much now. The neighbor is saying, it's too much. It can't carry on like this. Now he says to him, see, the smell is actually coming from your toilet. See, but we are Muslims. And a Muslim is told that even your neighbor, you need to be good with him. You need to be kind with him. In keeping that kindness, that I didn't complain to you for 20 years. Because I was more concerned of what my Allah Ta'ala and my Nabi Sam had to say to me. My Allah Ta'ala and my Nabi told me that I must be kind. Today, we reverse the whole thing around. Say, no, I must make this person Islam. Otherwise, you know what, he'll take advantage. He'll trample everybody's rights. He'll encroach everybody's rights. So I'll correct and put him in his place. Now, this is our Islam. And this aslaf of our sahaba, tabi'in, tabi tabi'in, how they looked at it. For 20 years, he endured this. And he only complained, not even complained, he mentioned it to him, and this person wanted to come with force to come and correct the situation. See, I endured you for 20 years. And I did this just because the Quran Sharif says, وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْجَارِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَالصَّاحِبِ بِالْجَنْبِ. Let alone that, even a neighbor, even a traveling companion, even a business partner, be kind to him. As we were sitting at that Ahmedabad airport, so we had our sari, and some crumbs were lying there on the chair. So there was another Mawlana that was with us. So it was cleaned up nicely, and then we leave. But he wanted to know about why. So see, the Quran Sharif says, وَالصَّاحِبُ بِالْجَمْدِ, your neighbor, traveling companion, right? Maybe there, or he may come after, and he will see this mess up, and he'll feel a little bit awkward. So don't you have a right towards him to make it comfortable for him as well? You're doing the wuzu inside. Verily, you must do your wuzu. Without your wuzu, your namaz won't be correct. But now you leave it as crisp as you found it. So you leave it clean. If there are water drops that have fallen around, but whilst you're making wuzu, you take that tissue with your hands and clean the area. Leave it crisp, leave it clean, comfortable. Now the next person comes in, he says, this is a Muslim, mashallah. He took a little bit of time, but he left the toilet in a better condition than he found it. Now, this is what Islam is speaking about. Really, we haven't understood Islam. We haven't understood deen. And we don't understand it because we don't sit with our Buzukala deen. We don't sit with them. We don't look at it. How they reason. My mind didn't go to this. That we need to even clean the place. We are sitting there. Some crumbs are left out. Now we clean that. We clean this and then we leave the place. Now, the next person comes in. Now, Muslims, this is how they behave. And we're not doing it to impress upon them. We're doing it because the Quran is saying us. That this is a neighbor, this is your traveling companion, and this is how you conduct yourself. Okay. So you see this neighbor, how you interact with people, how you socialize, what you're supposed to be doing, what you're supposed to be avoiding. This is not any buzruks that they're talking about. This is what the hadith is talking about. This is what the tabi'in are doing, what the tabi'in are doing. They are more concerned about them rectifying themselves than rectifying the next person. Now our attitude is, I need to rectify this person, otherwise he'll encroach. Make your own islah first, correct yourself first, leave that person there. He'll come right on in time. Now what an impression he left in the heart of the Jew. He accepted Islam. It took 20 years of suffering, but a Jew is the hardest nut to crack. But when he saw that this is what Islam is all about, see the example that he left behind. The 20 years of endurance didn't go waste. Now, if it was us, say, these Jews, and, you know, they always, from the time of Musa alayhi salam, they've always been giving him trouble, uphill all the time. And the Quran says also cursed him, لُؤِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُونَ مِنْ بَنِي Israel. And I must give him a piece of my mind. This is how we will think. But how this person thinks, totally different. Now this is where we take the cue. Not from our minds, not from our pockets, not from our understanding, from those people that understood the Quran, the Hadith, that associated with the Tabi'een, Sahaba, with these righteous people, they got the right color, now we take the color from them. So now, he's overwhelmed. When he's overwhelmed, now his inner secrets he's talking about. But I got a wife, وَفِي لِسَانِهَا شِيْهُ She, زَمَان سَيِّنِ هِيَ زَمَان خَرَابِ هِيَ So I say that the sign of nobility is not that you give the wife uphill. Yes, she's giving you uphill and you're tolerating. Okay, bichara khuda ki, Allah ta'ala ki gai ki tarah se, khamosh baitha hua hai. She's giving again one tamasha this side and you're still listening. Another one tamasha. Nadan hai bichari kya. The new thing about the good that she's did. How you control yourself, how you adjust yourself, you think about all her qurbani. She left her home, she left her comfort. She is living in this constraint. Everything that she has to do, she has to take permission from me. She can't do things of her own. So when you talk about her, you think about her in that way, then you will feel sympathetic towards her. But if you think about her, like, you know, I give her this money, I bought her a car, I bought her this, and I take care of her, I take her for umrah, I take her for holidays, I buy her her comforts and luxuries. And see her brothers and all that, and other sisters, they don't have these comforts. And I give them all this thing here. And this is the reward that I get. Now, then you will look at it differently. But you look at it from this perspective, that look at the qurbani that she's made. The difficulty, the hardship, everything. My mehman come in, she takes care, as though it's her personal thing. She's got nothing to do with the mehman, it's my mehman. But she considers my respect to be her respect. My comfort, my... Now and then, one, two tamatas is all, it's part of the deal. So you'll take it, there's such a pleasant understanding. But the hadith says that all this is a sign of nobility. Right. If it was one of us, if it was one of us that raised our voices before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what would have been? يُنَادُونَكَ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ The Quran will state that these people got no brains. And then the Quran will say, حَبِطَتْ أَعْمَالُهُمْ Your deeds will all go, will be rendered void if we raise our voice. But the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, she raises her voice, right? Hazrat Aisha raised her voice slightly, and Nabi Sam is not telling anything. See, so the wife has got some additional right. Aajkal ke bachche shadi karne ka shok rakhte hain. They have that shok to get married. But what it requires of you to look after that wife is a different thing. It's someone's daughter, tomorrow it will be your daughter. How would you like your daughter to be treated? Everything must go and correct her. Make isla all the time. Hazrat Yahya should say that ye sab baap banne ke shok rakhte hain. Lekin baap banna kya hota hai jante nahi. They have that passion to become a father. But what it is to be a father, they don't know it. Tolerance, endurance, correction, time, quality time, how to sit and talk to them, how to correct them. They don't have it. But just because that shok, I must do it. So now this sahabi is complaining to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I got this wife and her tongue is not right. I think the answer to it is such, it will take me another one half an hour to elaborate the whole answer. Next time, maybe tomorrow or some other day, I'll explain the whole thing, inshallah.